I think Jason's DJing this morning, man.
He's spinning it.
Some hot tunes this morning.
Spinning it. Well, if you've bought a car in the last 5 years, you've seen an increase in your technology.
Yeah.
It's been a big jump. And it was funny because I was talking about this with somebody the other day. You know, there used to be more like mom and pop mechanic shops.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you just needed something, you needed a new spark plug or you needed whatever.
Get some brakes or something like that. Yeah.
They'll take care of you. And it was reasonably priced and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think I feel like I see less of them now. And partly because the technology that goes in these vehicles, they're not equipped for that. That's not something that they necessarily can handle. And certainly with electric vehicles,
yeah.
If there need to be some sort of repairs made, I don't know if, you know, your standard mom and pop mechanic can fix those.
No, sometimes things have to be reset in your computer module, mm-hmm. and they can't do it. You got to take it back to the dealership because they can do it. I was at a dealership, and I heard somebody say, well, yeah, your computer chip, something isn't working, and it's going to be... need to be repaired. How much is it? Oh, it's going to be about $3,400.
Right. So it was an interesting topic that I was talking about with somebody. And then I see in the Detroit News, they've covered this story. And Carl Brower is the executive analyst for iccars.com and joins us to talk about it. Carl, good morning. It's good to have you.
Hey, great to be on with you guys.
So what is the state of your local mechanic shop? Because these vehicles are way more than they used to bargain for?
Well, there's a spectrum, of course, of capabilities for independent shops, but there are certainly plenty of shops out there with, you know, certified mechanics, ASC certified technicians who can handle even the most modern vehicles' repair demands as far as the technology goes. What's trickier is whether they have the ability to do it because of access to information. And I think that's where the real battle has been discussed is, if you've got, for instance, updated software that's becoming available for these cars, or you've got a bunch of information that's come back because the car is tracking everything that's going on and keeping a record of it, and that helps diagnose and fix these problems, but only the manufacturer and the manufacturer's official dealers, the dealer-branded dealers, are getting access to that information, then that's going to reduce the independent shop's ability to repair the vehicle. And that's what kind of is the big battle now for right to repair. And what they're saying is that, you know, manufacturers are claiming, well, for safety, we can't have people who don't really know what they're doing fixing these cars. And it's like they kind of don't add in, well, the reason they may not know what they're doing is because you're not giving them the information that you've got access to because of all the connected car technology to help them fix the cars. And, you know, if only the dealers have that information, it just, like any supply-demand situation, it would mean more people would have to go to the dealers. They wouldn't have the option to use independent shops, and the dealers would potentially start to have more of a monopoly and charge more money to get your car repaired.
Well, you know, the average driver may not think about repair access when they buy a car. So should consumers now be asking a question about, like, hey, how easy is it for this vehicle to be repaired before they purchase it?
I think it's absolutely, you know, realistic for consumers to consider, if I'm buying a new car, what are my options to get it repaired outside the dealer network, the official dealer network that's branded for that vehicle? And again, most people do that. Believe it or not, most people think that, well, when you buy a new car, of course you go back to the dealer for service, if not forever, at least initially during the warranty period. A certain amount of people do that, but plenty of people right off the bat either fix the car themselves at home or they take it to an independent shop, which is good, by the way, because in theory, if all the cars that were sold new had to be serviced only at dealers, the dealers wouldn't have the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. They'd be overwhelmed with too many cars. But, I mean, if you live in a given location, it would behoove you to look through independent shops that are local to you and say, hey, I'm about to buy one of these. Do you have the ability to fix most, if not all, of the problems that come up with it?
Hmm. The president seems like this is on his radar as well, that he spoke to leaders of Ford and General Motors about the ability for these places or people to have access to that information that you talked about to fix their own vehicles. It's kind of been dubbed this right to repair legislation. Where is that at?
Yeah, he wants people to be able to fix their own vehicles. And he thinks that that shouldn't even be a question. Like anything, if you buy something in this country, the thought is that you now own it and you can do what you need to with it, whether it's fix it yourself, take it to a independent shop, or go back to the official dealer, branded dealers, and get it fixed. So he certainly wants that right to repair, as they say, for anyone, and have as much freedom and latitude as possible. And it's interesting because there was this attempt to kind of push toward less control over this by some of the dealers and the manufacturers, and that put it on the radar for him, and he pushed it back the other direction.
Mm. So you got these vehicles now that are even more connected, electric, software-driven. What does that mean for, you know, auto repair now? I mean, will these independent mechanics adapt, or could we just see fewer of them in our neighborhoods now?
If, in theory, they were unable to keep repairing newer cars as readily as they have been repairing them in the past, it would absolutely start cutting into their business and could ultimately drive many of them out of business. There'll always be a certain amount of older used cars that are much easier to access and repair for any kind of shop. But over time, if they couldn't work on newer cars, it would be bad for the independent mechanics and shop industry.
How much is the cost for the software to get these updates for these cars? Like, it sounds like it would be much more financially attainable for a dealership than it would be for an independent mechanic.
Yeah, and I mean, and I don't know kind of the exact figures and all that. I think a lot of that is still kind of what's being trying to be determined. Mm. Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's like so many things when it comes to technology, there's really not a big cost, and the scale is like minimal, right? Once you have the coding, once you have a software update that's been figured out probably by the engineers at the automaker, distributing it, whether it's to your own branded dealers or to all the independent shops and the branded dealers, is very inexpensive. I mean, we now know there's over-the-air updates, right, where cars can actually have updates to their software while they're sitting in your garage in the middle of the night and you're not driving them. So it really shouldn't be, I can tell you this, it shouldn't be expensive to get access to this information, because all you're really doing is transmitting data over a network.
Interesting. Carl Brower with iccars.com. Thank you. Really appreciate the insight on this.
Absolutely. Fun being on with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Meanwhile, coming up on the other side, what have we learned from the debates thus far?
What maybe the other person is not going to do, and what that person did, and
it's their fault, not mine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can't buy me.
We'll talk about it coming up on the other side. It's Chair Morning.